John opened his eyes, groaning as the bright light assaulted him. The last thing he remembered was heading towards one of the transporters on his way to find Rodney and kiss some sense into his oblivious lover. He remembered actually getting into the transporter, and then nothing. Pushing himself up, he looked around the room he was in, the stark grey metal walls were nothing he'd ever seen in Atlantis, and he couldn't hear the gentle murmuring of the city in the back of his mind. "John," he muttered to himself, "I don't think you're in Kansas anymore." A quick recon of the room showed the only door to be locked and no communication devices anywhere, including his missing radio. He was just about to try the time-honored method of yelling and banging on the door when one of the walls suddenly flared to life. Spinning to face the picture now running on the wall, John's eyes widened as he immediately recognized the image as his own quarters. "What the?" John took an involuntary step forward as he watched a figure bustle about setting a romantic dinner for two, a figure he recognized as himself. Not John had just put a bottle of what looked like a Thosian wine on the table when John heard his quarters door chime ring. Not John glanced up quickly, eyes seemingly meeting John's as the imposter stared straight at the camera for a second before answering the door. "Hi." John's heart sank as he immediately recognized the voice of the person not John was now ushering into the room. Not John looked at Rodney and smiled. "I'm glad you came." "I'll kill him," John fumed, knowing with every inch of his soul that the thing impersonating him was the little rat he should have shoved out of an airlock months ago. The little rat who had apparently been watching them for God knows how long. John felt ill. If there was a camera into his quarters, then there was definitely one going into Rodney's. Suddenly, every moment he'd spent with Rodney felt tainted. Everything they'd done, everything they'd said. They'd lain in bed and spoken words that neither of them had ever said to anyone else, and Hermiod had watched it all. Screw the airlock, John thought. When he got out of here, he was going to cut Hermiod into little pieces and feed him to Dalek.
"I'd have come even if you hadn't asked."
John grinned at the tone of his lover's voice. That was his Rodney, all right.
"We need to talk, Rodney. Please, sit."
Not John pulled out a chair and waved Rodney into it.
"Oh, come on, Rodney," John muttered. "When the hell have I ever pulled out a chair for you? Would you like some wine?"
Rodney nodded, and Not John poured him a glass, watching as Rodney took a deep drink.
"Don't do that," John snapped. "You know how the Athosian stuff affects you."
John's words trailed off in horror.
"Don't drink it," he urged as
Not John poured another glass, taking a sip before putting it down.
"You don't know what's in it. Don't drink it."
Rodney looked at Not John.
"About yesterday. We were both stressed and not thinking straight, not that we ever think straight because hello, both men here. Anyway, I think we should just put it behind us and can we get to the... I think we should break up."
John listened in horror as the words came out of Not John's mouth.
"Make up sex now? Excuse me? I think we should split up,"
Not John repeated.
"Would you like some more wine?"
Rodney looked down at his drink before knocking the rest of it back and slamming the empty glass on the table.
"No, I don't want any more wine. But if you'd like to give me the bottle, I can crack you over the head with it."
Rodney stood up and started to pace.
"You think we should split up? And where the hell did this gem of an idea come from?"
Not John waited patiently for Rodney to finish his rant.
"Ha," John muttered, "another thing you got wrong. I never wait for him to stop ranting. I have him on the bed and naked 3 words in just to shut him up."
Rodney's voice finally trailed off as he stopped pacing to look at Not John, his eyes narrowing.
"Are you all right?" "No, I'm not all right," John shouted at the screen. "I'm not me." "I'm fine, Rodney. Why do you ask?"
Rodney didn't answer. He took a step towards Not John, a hand reaching out.
I bet it's those bugs from Catan. Alien mosquitoes are never a good thing. You probably have a fever and will have to call Carson to practice his voodoo on you. On the upside, it's another chance for sex in the infirmary. A new batch of nurses came in on the Daedalus, and we have to keep our 100% record, making the medical staff jealous as hell. Not John reached up, catching Rodney's fingers in his own before Rodney could touch his forehead. I'm fine, honestly. Rodney snorted, pulling his fingers out of not John's grasp. Tell me that when your temperature is 104 and I'm having to give you cold sponge baths. He pressed his fingers against not John's forehead, stilling almost imperceptibly at the touch, a thoughtful look on his face.
Come on, Rodney, John urged. Not me. Small, naked grey rat pretending to be me.
And so not getting the hair right, I'd like to point out. Rodney stepped away from not John. Okay, so no fever. In fact, kind of colder than you usually are. He looked at not John, his voice light as he spoke. So, this breaking up thing, any specific reason?
You just deserve so much more. Someone better.
What the hell do you mean he deserves more? John objected. He's got me, for God's sake.
And by someone better, you mean someone like, say, Hermiod?
John stood rigid, his eyes fixed on the screen. He knew that tone of Rodney's. He'd heard it often enough. The tone that said, I know I'm right, and I'm going to give you exactly enough rope to hang yourself because I'm better than you are, and you're an idiot if you ever thought otherwise.
About time, McKay! John grinned. About goddamn time!
Not John never stood a chance, and John was more than looking forward to watching Rodney rip Hermiod a new one. He was busy mentally bemoaning the lack of popcorn, good beer, and a comfortable chair, when a noise behind him made him spin around and stare straight through the now open door into Novak's concerned face.
Novak?
Colonel!
How?
John started to ask, cutting himself off before the question was even fully formed. Never mind. He turned back to glance at the screen, where Rodney was striding towards Not John with a furious gleam in his eyes. Just get me down there, now! When Novak opened her mouth to argue, John just looked at her. Yes, sir, she nodded, pressing a button on the wall.
And adding in the fact that he was actually right means that I'm going to be on my knees in front of John Shepherd for the rest of my life, were the last words John heard as the Asgard transport beam took him.
John felt a momentary wave of disconcerting nothingness, and then his own quarters shimmered into life around him. Rodney looked at him, eyes widening slightly at his sudden appearance, before schooling themselves into calm. John. John was suddenly all too aware of the last words they had spoken to each other. Rodney?
Are you okay?
Concern laced Rodney's tone, and if he had to pinpoint it, John was pretty sure that that was the moment Rodney actually realized that for Hermiod to have been impersonating John, the Asgard would have had to get John out of the way first.
Well, I apparently got overpowered by a 3-foot-tall naked alien before being forced into watching said alien try to get into my boyfriend's pants. The very same boyfriend, by the way, who didn't actually believe me when I tried to tell him that the alien was after his body in the first place.
John paused. But aside from that, I'm good. Rodney was silent for long moments. Did anyone ever tell you your boyfriend's kind of an idiot? John grinned as he looked straight at Rodney. But I love him anyway. There was a beat and then... glad to hear it, as Rodney returned the grin. The incipient love fest was halted only by the sound of not John trying to surreptitiously move towards the door.
You!
John whirled round, pointing at the impostor. Don't move another muscle.
And for God's sake, stop being me. It's distracting.
You can say that again, Rodney murmured. I always thought two John Shepherds was something that would stay firmly in my imagination.
I would be willing to stay in this form if you so desire it,
Not John said earnestly. John frowned. Don't even think about it, he growled. Now take me off. Not John placed a hand down his trousers and jiggled something about. Oh, now that's familiar, Rodney muttered, as Not John shimmered out of existence, replaced by Hermiod's natural, naked, ratty, grey visage. John glared at him as he raised his hand to his radio, belatedly remembering it was still missing. Noticing the aborted movement, Rodney took his own radio off and handed it to John without a word. John hooked it into his ear and activated the radio, Shepherd to Lorne. Major, report to my quarters and bring a couple of Marines with you. I'll explain when you get here. Barely 5 minutes had passed before the door chimed, John casting a thought in its direction to open it. Major Lorne stepped inside, flanked by two of the Marines. Sir? He looked at the trio standing in John's quarters. Major, take Hermiod down to one of the holding cells and lock him in there, and then call Colonel Caldwell down. I need to have a little chat with him about better controlling his aliens. Major Lorne's eyes flicked to Hermiod before turning his attention back to John. What are the charges, sir?
Abduction, forced imprisonment, impersonating an officer and trying to steal my boyfriend, John rattled off the list.
I don't think you'll get the last one to stick, Rodney pointed out dryly.
Fine, replied John. Then just the first three. Either way, Major, I want him out of my sight.
Lorne nodded and turned to Hermiod. If you'll come with me, please.
It wasn't a question, as he motioned to the door.
Hermiod cast one last longing glance in Rodney's direction before accompanying Lorne and the two Marines out of the door, leaving John and Rodney alone.
Well, Rodney said after long moments, that was different.
Different? John just looked at him. Different? I'll show you different, he muttered, stalking towards Rodney. Rodney backed up, his hands held up placatingly.
John?
He didn't get the rest of the sentence out as John tackled him onto the bed.
I seem to recall hearing a certain person mentioning being on his knees in front of me. You know, since I turned out to be, oh, absolutely right about the insane stalking rat.
John nudged a thigh between Rodney's legs.
I may have, Rodney's breath hitched slightly, mentioned something along those lines, he admitted.
Then how about you start now?
John grinned at Rodney. And then he kissed him.
Hermiod stared at the wall of the holding cell, trying to work out where it had gone so horribly wrong. He'd followed the suggestions in the book, but still his beloved was with that man, and he was stuck in a cell. A cell! An engineer of the Asgard fleet, and he was stuck in a cell.
The annoyance that he felt at his predicament flickered higher as a shadow loomed over him. Raising his head to identify the newcomer, Hermiod paused.
Well, Colonel Caldwell looked at him. You'd better start from the beginning, hadn't you?
The end.
Epilogue.
John watched as Rodney paced the gate room.
I can't believe you got me to agree to this. Pace, 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 turn. You do remember what he did, don't you? Pace, 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 turn. Cold storage, bees, impersonating you to get to me. Pace, 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 turn. What on Atlantis are we even doing agreeing to...
Rodney, calm down. John grabbed Rodney's arm as the other man stalked past.
I didn't see any harm in agreeing to Caldwell's request.
Even if he had specified that it was to take place in public, when it was busy... And he knew at least 17 of the Marines were standing by. Not that John was paranoid or anything, but he'd underestimated Hermiod once too often, and he wasn't about to give the little grey rat any more opportunities to play at being the evil mastermind with the hots for John's boyfriend.
Rodney just looked at him. Explain to me again why we're doing this.
Because Caldwell asked, and I didn't see any reason to refuse him, John pointed out reasonably. And how strange was it that John was now the one looking at this rationally?
Didn't see any reason,
Rodney repeated, incredulity colouring his tone.
Like the insane stalking alien isn't reason enough?
He took John's hand.
If we leave now, we can still escape back to your quarters and have hot, sweaty sex for the next 3 hours.
Rodney smiled encouragingly and nodded.
John thought about it carefully. On the one hand, he'd promised Caldwell they would hear Hermiod out, but on the other, hot, sweaty sex with Rodney was never something to turn down. He was just in the middle of working out if they had enough time to have hot, sweaty sex and then make it back in time to meet Caldwell, when the hum of the Daedalus's transporter answered his question.
And to think, Rodney muttered, as two figures materialized, coalescing into Caldwell and Hermiod in a matter of moments, you could have chosen the sex. John was already halfway to regretting the fact that he hadn't, when Caldwell placed a hand on Hermiod's back and gently propelled the Asgard forward. Colonel Shepherd, Dr. McKay, Caldwell greeted them. Thank you for agreeing to meet with us. Thank the Colonel, Rodney answered tersely. If it had been up to me, we'd be otherwise engaged. A slight raise of the eyebrow was the only indication Caldwell gave of knowing exactly how they would have been otherwise engaged. He looked down at Hermiod. Hermiod? The Asgard looked at Rodney. Dr. McKay, he started after a few moments, I would like to apologize for whatever inappropriate actions I may have taken over the past months. It was wrong, and I apologize. Rodney looked at Hermiod for long seconds before nodding sharply. Looking satisfied with Rodney's response, Hermiod turned to John. Colonel Shepherd, he began, I also apologize for any distress I may have caused you in that time. John wasn't sure if the pause he heard was just his imagination or not, so he let it go. After all, he could be the bigger man here. Especially since it was him who got to go home with Rodney and have hot monkey sex, and Hermiod who got to go back to the stark walls of the Daedalus. Don't worry about it, it's forgotten. What's a little assault and kidnapping between friends? Caldwell's eyes narrowed slightly, but he remained quiet. Right then, said John, if we're done here?
We are, Hermiod replied.
Great! John took Rodney's hand and started to lead him out of the gate room. Safe journey back, he called over his shoulder. Be sure to avoid any wraith you might see. When they were finally clear and in the corridor, John stopped for a moment and looked over at Rodney. Hot, sweaty sex? He asked. Rodney looked affronted that John thought he'd have to ask. Absolutely. John grinned. His city was fantastic, his boyfriend loved him, and the little grey rat was heading back to Earth. Life was back to normal at last. Looking back, Hermiod realized how wrong he'd been. Rodney McKay was obviously too insecure with himself to be in love with someone with a higher intellect. That much was obvious by his relationship with John Shepherd. No, what Hermiod needed was someone in control, someone who knew exactly who they were and what they wanted. He watched as Colonel Caldwell barked orders to the Daedalus' bridge crew as he settled into the command chair before ordering the jump that would start them on the journey back to the Milky Way. Humming to himself as he started the diagnostic on the FTL drive, Hermiod let the dulcet tones of his cherished voice wash over him. The book was still in his quarters, and they had 18 days before they were due to arrive back on Earth. 18 days? And 94 untried ways to win his man. It looked like he had some planning to do. The end.